Morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer coming to you once again from the Metropolitan Tabernacle here in 501 Opelousas Avenue in old Algiers, New Orleans. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer. Yeah, been here with you a long time now. Many of our gracious stations there in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Cincinnati, Ohio, and other stations here on WLNO in New Orleans. I wish you folks, local folks here, would call me on the phone, write me, and let me know you're listening. I'm always here at the church from about 6:30 in the morning till later on in the evening. I'll always be happy to talk with you. But we're bringing you a series of studies on the preacher. It's entitled The Preacher. Many, many years ago, 40, 50 years ago, Pastor Shelton brought a series of studies on this subject. And I'm picking up his notes and outlines and reading extensively from some of his notes. And it's just a gracious study. I just appreciate reading it. And I'm going to give you more information about it. But we're looking today at some characteristics of an unsaved preacher. One of the things the Lord is doing is attempting to do, and the Lord is doing, is to refute error. Refute error that's in our land today. Did you know most folks think that everything religious is of the Lord? It's not. We're living in a day when there's so much religious sham and hypocrisy until sometimes it's hard to tell a difference between the false and the true. And I want to study with you today some of the characteristics of a false or unsaved preacher. There are certain characteristics of an unsaved preacher that stand out very boldly. They're not hard to see, and we can detect them wherever you find them. I want to call your attention first to this characteristic. The missing note in every unsaved preacher is the lack of the reality of Christ in his testimony and the absence of Christ in his preaching. He may sit for a while, listen to you talk about the Lord, what Christ means to you. He may even give assent to it, but he himself will very seldom begin a conversation with you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll talk to you about doctrine. Maybe some particular doctrine of the Word impresses him. He may go off on a tangent, some particular doctrine as the sovereignty of God, become a hyper-Calvinist, or he may go off on a tangent on the second coming of Christ and become an ultra-premillennialist. Again, he may go off on a tangent on the doctrine of the church and drift to the extreme of believing that if you're not a member of his church, you're not saved. But you cannot get that man to sit down and talk with you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that firsthand, my friend. I've been there. I talk to folks in the bookstore here. Preachers come over there by the scores, and you can't get them. They'll never initiate a subject. They'll never initiate a conversation about the Lord and what he means to them. No, no. One noted preacher said one day, well, I'll talk about Christ in the pulpit. I'll preach Christ in the pulpit. But when I'm out of the pulpit, I like to talk about something else. Now, my friend, I don't like to be around these kind of people. No, I don't have no time for it. To me, the born-again believer, preacher or otherwise, Christ is buried, crucified, buried, risen, is the subject that delights his heart. The missing note in the unsaved preacher's life and testimony is the absence of the reality of Christ. He will come up, he will come into your home, sit down, talk about the ball game, about the church program, about his organization, about raising money. He'll light up his cigarette, or maybe there a cigar and pipe and puff on it, and all the while talking about other things. But once you mention Christ, him crucified, you begin to talk about how God saves a sinner. Just tell him how the Lord saves you. And he becomes a shut mouth, or he's ready to change the subject. Now, I ask my folks here many, many times. I ask you folks on the Trailblazer broadcast, you who hear me. Many of you folks hear me. I know that. I hear from lots of you. But is your pastor, does he talk about Christ, or is he talking about a building program, or is he talking about in generalities about all the historicity of the Bible and talk about who Cain's wife was and make a big splay over all those kind of, or is he talking about the reality of Christ? I know the Lord lays many, many messages on my heart, warning message, warning folks to turn to the Lord. But down somewhere in the message, there's a place and a time to speak about the Lord, what the Lord has done for me and what the Lord will do for you if you trust him. I know that. Listen. Now, you get this truth. You can detect every saved preacher when you begin to talk about the sacrifice. He'll love it. He loves it. He never grows tired. But if he's not saved, he becomes embarrassed and shuts his mouth. So one of the outstanding characteristics of an unsaved preacher is He knows nothing about the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not like to talk about it. He may talk about some experience or vision he had and so on. I've been in the hospital waiting room when the pastor of some of my relatives was there waiting for the surgery to get over with. And I've heard him sit and crack joke, one joke after the other, laugh, hee-haw, had the whole waiting room in stitches, laughing. And this is the pastor of a large church. And it's one after the other, my friend. Listen. There's another outstanding characteristic of every unsaved preacher, and that's the missing note in his preaching is the absence of repentance. You will find very few preachers who preach repentance, but they never tell you what repentance is. Oh, they'll talk about it a little bit. They refer to repentance in their message, but they never make it personal. They never asked you, oh, have you repented? Have you repented? They never asked you that. Listen to Christ's command to his preachers in Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are my witnesses. Now, if that preacher has repented, he'll know what repentance is. If his heart has never been opened by the Holy Spirit and he was never made to see and feel and know that he was a lost sinner, then he knows nothing about it. If one day he took his place at the feet of Christ as a lost sinner and cried for mercy, he knows about that and he'll talk about it. He knows that's the only way of grace. He knows this is the only way of a sinner ever getting to Christ, and he'll preach it. I don't have any trouble preaching Christ. No, sir. On the other hand, if he's not repented, if he had never been brought to repentance as a poor, lost, hell-deserving sinner, and the only thing he has is a little decision for Christ, or either been called by his ma and pa or by the pastor, and listen, all of that took place back there years ago when he joined the church and was baptized and gave his life to Jesus, as he termed it. He doesn't know anything about repentance, so he doesn't preach it. He can't preach. You can't preach. You can only preach that which you know. Now, you listen to your own self preach. Listen to others preach. No, it won't take long to detect whether he's been there, because his preaching reflects what he is. Now, let me give you one little tidbit here, my friend. Every born-again believer knows if the pastor is preaching the truth. Now, I stand behind that statement. I stake my eternal destiny on it. It's true. Every born-again believer whom the Lord has saved, delivered, taught anything about the way of grace, he knows if the preacher is preaching the truth. And in return, on the opposite side, listen now, on the opposite side, the pastor knows who in his congregation is saved without a shadow of a doubt. Now, that's right. The Lord gives him that insight. First of all, by the testimony. Second of all, by their walk and their talk. The pastor said the old yellow dog in the backyard will know when you get saved. So if the pastor don't know if his folks are saved, he ought to get out and go to digging taters, oughtn't he? Listen now, you'll find some preachers who will tell you they were saved when they were so young, and they drifted into sin. Then one day they came back confessing their sin, forsaking them, and they based their salvation of their call to the ministry upon that. But every saved preacher knows that's not salvation. He knows this is not repentance that leads to salvation. Therefore, you can detect that old boy has nothing. In that condition, he cannot tell a sinner how to be saved. He can only get converts after his own sort. Not one of them will be saved. If the preacher does not know the truth of a sinner's salvation by actual experience, he cannot preach salvation to lost souls. He'll only get converts who do not know the Lord. Oh, you can get converts, my friend. So repentance, Bible repentance, is the missing note in present-day preaching. And you can detect every unsaved preacher in that respect. And he has never repented, he cannot lead others to repentance. Paul said, I have begotten you with the truth. What is the truth? The truth that Christ died for sinners. The truth that except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. That those are the truths of God's Word. That's the truth. Now let's notice briefly one more outstanding characteristic of unsaved preachers, and that is every unsaved preacher will try to comfort those under Holy Spirit conviction. For instance, here's an individual who's been awakened to the fact that he's a poor, lost sinner, missed Christ, and on the road to hell. He goes to his pastor, who is the proper individual to go to, tells his pastor his heart trouble. If his pastor is not saved, first he will try to convince that individual that he's saved. He will say, "You are unduly alarmed. You have nothing to worry about. Didn't you trust Christ back there when you were a child? Haven't you lived the best you could?" Then if that unsaved preacher can't convince him that he's been saved all the while, he'll try to lead him out on a profession by saying, "Well, Christ died for sinners. Just believe. That's all there is to it. You're just much saved as I am." This reveals the fact that the preacher knows nothing about Holy Spirit conviction. He knows nothing about repentance. He's missed Christ himself. And where do you stand? Where do you stand, Pastor? Pastor, could I ask you that question this morning? I know there's many of you listening to the old Trailblazer. I know that. Some of you listen out of curiosity. Some of you listen because you want to hear God's message, and I appreciate that. And I love to hear from my preacher friend. And occasionally some take issue with me on some fact, but we don't fall out about those things. No, sir. If you know the Lord, I'll have fellowship with you in the Lord. You may have different doctrinal views, but do you know the Lord? Oh, listen, folks, listen. You can't go astray. I tell my folks here, don't make a mistake on your salvation. Don't make a mistake about whether you're saved or not. Oh, I wouldn't ever think about making a mistake on my salvation. That's the greatest thing in the world that ever happens to you, if it ever does, is to be saved. And I tell you today, I wish you'd make your calling and election sure. Don't go off on a tangent, my friend, saying, "Well, that crackpot don't know what he's talking about." Yes, I do, because I have God's word in my hand, and it says, "Except you repent." Have you repented? Have you repented, my friend? You out there this morning early, getting up, going out to milk the cows or get in your 18-wheeler and warm it up, get ready to go across the country. Have you ever been saved? What is it? You say, "Well, Pastor, what is it to be saved?" It's to be delivered from sin. It's to have the old self-righteousness broken, the old self-will broken, that old hard heart taken out of your bosom. And the Lord said, "I'll give you a new heart." Do you know what the evidence of a new heart is? Do you know anything about the Spirit? The spirit of the new birth, love, joy, peace, quietness, gentleness, understanding, meekness, temperate. Those things come when the Holy Spirit takes up his abode in the heart and life of an individual who's been redeemed. He works those things in his heart. He works fidelity. Yeah, right. Of the old liar, he won't lie no more. Old thief, he won't steal no more. The old drunkard, he won't drink no more. Old blackguarder, he won't go out and curse and raise hell no more. The old whoremonger, no. All those things. You say the Lord can save a whoremonger? Yes, sir. The Lord can save homosexuals? Yes, sir. But he has to be broken at the feet of Christ. The Lord, you can't just make a little mental decision and say, I'm just saved now. I trusted Jesus. No, that don't even smell like salvation. My friend, the old Trailblazer, be true to your soul this morning. I wish you'd take notice of it. I wish you'd get quiet there when the old Trailblazer comes on and listen, would you? I'm pouring out my soul to you, and it costs money to bring you these messages. Would you help me with the broadcast? If you love the Lord, if you know anything about the Lord, and you want to see souls saved, would you help me with the broadcast? Would you tell me, "Pastor, I'm going to send you some money month by month"? Would you do that? We just went on several new stations up in North and South Carolina and Georgia, and we need some seed money, as it were, to get them started. It takes a long time to get a broadcast supporting itself. Many of our folks here support these broadcasts with their money above their tithe now, not their tithe, above their tithe. And I wish you'd sit down and write me a goodly check. But remember, my ambition, my aim, my purpose here is not to raise money. No, we only do that to stay on the station. But it's to preach the gospel. That some poor soul, did you know if one soul gets saved in conjunction with the old Trailblazer, it'd be worth all I ever put in it? Just one poor soul, especially if that soul was yours. This is the old Trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. I wish you'd sit down and write me. Let me know that you're listening, and then pray for me. Would you do that thing? Thank you and goodbye.